Hallelujah. You know, we will be riding home on the compassion of God. Because God's compassion don't care about your mistakes. God's compassion don't care about your distorted ideas. God's compassion is bona fide love. God's compassion has been in existence since the beginning of time, when he already made provisions for us that we could become a part of the body of Christ. It has been said that we have been grafted in. If you want to be grafted, you be grafted. I've been called in and separated to the gospel of Christ. That makes me his brother and your brother, whether you like it or not. Paul had this great revelation that was going on in his life concerning the word of God. But what folks fail to realize is that everything that Paul preached came out of the Old Testament. God revealed things unto him as he preached and taught the word of God unto sinners and Jews and Gentiles and heretics and all these different folks alike. But in the book of Corinthians, he was dealing with a church that he had already sent one letter to. And they had taken that word and they had philosophized that word and they had changed the word into becoming what they wanted it to be. They had done everything they wanted to do. They were trying to be two different sects. They were trying to be Jews and they were trying to be Gentiles and they were trying to be this and that when God was only calling them to be believers. What they were doing, they were separating themselves from the gospel of God unto themselves. But Paul was letting them know they had fell out of love with God because they had fell out of love with each other. You cannot fall out of love with people that do you bad. It's easy. It's a lot of folks, you know, I'm honest with you, that I would like to throw up under the bus. But God said, I'll make you join them. And you'll be the one that gets run over. And they'll be the one that lives. Amen. It's kind of crazy. We don't understand a lot of the things that go on. Someone that's been drinking heavily runs a red light and kills four people that was not drinking. He gets out of the car and walks away without a scratch. Who understands that? No one does. But the crazy thing about it is, God saw it and he could have prevented it, but he didn't. And nobody knows why. But we know that the compassion of God is what? Everlasting to everlasting. In the book of Corinthians, the word of God says in the third verse, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, all of them, not some, not particular ones, but all of them, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. God doesn't comfort you so that you can brag about it. God doesn't show his compassion to you so that you can be lifted and be self-exalted, but God shows you his compassion so that you can be compassionate. Because this life you live is no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. What was that price? We know that the price was Jesus. What was Jesus? He was the heart and the compassion of God. How How could he be the compassion of God? Because he freely dwells in a body that at any time doesn't want to serve him. He dwells in a body that any given time don't want to offer up no praise. He still dwells in a body that any other time don't want to serve him the way he wants to be served. That's compassion. That's the love of God. When we screw up, God still does what? He comforteth us. Most times, he's the only one telling you that it's going to be all right. Paul said, he will comfort you in all of your tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any troubles by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so are our consolations also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, I wasn't too crazy about that part. I don't see why I should be afflicted for you. I couldn't understand why do I have to go through for you? Why do I have to overlook what they said to me for you? God operates strange, doesn't he? I guess that's why he says he uses the strange things to confound the wise. Remember what it said, our life is no longer our own because we've been bought with a price. Paul's telling them that we go through so that you can be blessed. We're afflicted so that you can make it. We're telling you that God will comfort you in all of your troubles, in all of your trials, in all of your circumstances. God will comfort you. The word comfort means to edify or to exhort. God will exhort you. How does he exhort you? By letting you know that you are greater than your circumstance. You are more powerful than your situation. Regardless of how it looks, you're not trying to make it, but if you can understand that you've already made it, because Christ is victorious in you. This message has really come realistic to me this morning, Elder Gilmer, because when you see things that affect your spirit, sometimes I question the Lord. I said, Lord, why do you allow us to keep fighting for this place? You could easily move us. Bless us. Sell this place and bless us with something that's more comfortable, something that's not so strenuous on the finances. The only answer I ever get... My love will constrain you. I said, Lord, that's not the answer I'm looking for. I would like to know when or why and then where. And he says, you want to know why? I said, yeah. He said, why should I? Whatever it is you're going through, you've already been prepared for it. You haven't realized you've been prepared for it because you don't want to realize it. It would be real nice, Brother Gregory, if God would just reach down and grab me and massage my heart and encourage my spirit and say, son, it's going to be all right, in a very good audible voice. But he hasn't done that. What he does is he raises up a standard in his word. So that we can do what? We can encourage ourselves. See, that was the key to David. When David encouraged himself was, he found out that the words that God gave him, he encouraged himself with them. He didn't look to be encouraged by others. Paul was saying, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation of salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, for it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also the consolation. You say, also, you shall also be the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we were despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Here's some words. If you have a pen, you can write down the definition, because I want you to restudy this for yourself. Because if you don't get an understanding from God for you, then it won't do you any good. The word comfort, these are words broken down in the Greek. The word comfort means counsel, exhort. When you hear them, remember, it means to counsel or exhort. The word comforteth, when you hear it, it means appeal to by way of exhortation. That's an inner manifestation. Tribulation is trouble, hard times, stress. We know on and on and on. Affliction, afflicted, crowded, troubled, anguished, burdened, or persecuted. Now here's a kicker. The word sufferings doesn't mean to suffer, but it means motions. Motions is actually talking, not emotions, but it's talking about manifestations or works. So when you hear these words, when you hear the word for, it means hooper, or the Greek word is hooper, which means in behalf of. When you hear the word effectual, it means working. Or when you hear the word knowing, it means without effort. When you hear the word steadfast, it means sure. So Paul was telling them, be blessed, speak well of. Whatever your situation is, you have to find a way to speak well of it. How do I speak well about being sick? You speak well about being sick because you say to yourself, God is a healer. How do you speak well about being discouraged? God is my encourager. How do you speak well about not having finance? God is my blesser, my deliverer, my way maker. He said if I sold my tithe unto him, that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out blessings which I could not contain. He said, the word of God said, that he would rebuke the devourer for my sake. That's how you speak well of, by speaking the word of God, putting the word of God on your problems, putting the word of God on your trials, putting the word of God on your situations, by calling forth the word of God, by looking at the situations and calling those things they're not as though they are, and then seeing them as such. There was a lot going on in Corinth that we don't have time to delve into, but there was a lot going on. Paul said, who comforteth us in all of our troubles, all of our hard times, and all of our distresses. It says he appeals by way of exhortation in all of our troubles, in all of our hard times. God exhorts himself by way of himself in our struggles, in our afflictions, in our distresses, in our burdensome things. God finds a way to exhort himself by himself, through himself, in us. How do he exhort himself? By us showing forth the love and the compassion of God, regardless of what we're going through. Sometimes you don't want to be around people. You don't want to be like being bothered. But the compassion of God is greater than what you feel. Or at least it should be. Hallelujah. You can't comfort anybody. You can't console or exhort anybody that's in trouble unless you found out that you can be exhorted or consoled in your trouble. But half the time when we get ourselves in trouble, when we're going through something, we decide it's better to stay home. I'm going to find a way, Brother Larry, to get into the house of God or get into a group of people that will encourage me. They don't have to open up their mouths and encourage me, pastors, but all they got to do is offer up a sacrifice of praise, because I can sense in their spirits that they're being tried on every corner. They're being tempted. They're being persecuted and going through afflictions and tribulations. But in spite of, they lift up their hands unto the Lord. Lord, we love you. We glorify you. We magnify you. In the midst of all their troubles, in the midst of hell, they can glorify God. I'm encouraged by that. You don't have to preach a long message to me. One of the three words that I love to hear the most, God is able. Those three words change the way you look at everything. God is able. Man, I don't feel good today, but God is able. All these bills are due. God is able. Glory to God. You sometimes pick up one or two bills, light bill, gas bill, not even including them all in one, trying to get us all at the same time or the same way. Sometimes I want to, when I see the mail land on the floor, the mailman puts it through the mail slot, Doc, I just want to kick it up under the desk. I see them land there, I go, but then I'm reminded that either you're going to have to get down there and get him, or you're going to have to bug Rodney. And the first question he's going to ask you is, how'd they get up under there? And then you're going to have to tell him, well, I kicked him. And then his mind going to start turning. He's going to say, why didn't you get him? Because I couldn't get down to get him. I wouldn't be able to get back up. So then the question is, why'd you kick him? Why you kick against stuff that you can't handle? Let God do it. I was going to say women, men are wanting to beat their girlfriends because they can't handle them. But I'm going to change that. Girlfriends want to beat their men. Y'all laugh, but y'all know it's the truth. I'm going to wait till that brother go to sleep, and him and this iron pan are going to become one. But don't kick it. Whatever your problem is, whatever your tribulation is, give it to God. I'm learning too. Give it to God. Man, I get so stressed sometimes. You know how they used to just rent their clothes? I'm like, Lord, I can't afford to tear nothing up. So you got to move for me. Paul was trying to teach them something in Corinth. He was letting them know that you're going through so that you can encourage somebody else. If you don't have a testimony, you can't cause anyone else to be strengthened. We said the word of God says they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. It says they. I assumed that meant us, but in more breaking down of the word they, it was talking about others are encouraged. Others overcome by your testimony because they can see the word or the blood of Jesus manifest itself within you. You can't tell me that God's a healer and you don't know what healing is. It's to folks talking about stuff they don't know nothing about. Did you go to seminary school? I said, no. How many doctors do you have? None. So what makes you a pastor? Hell. What do you mean? I say for 35 years I've been through hell. Those are my plaques. My bleeding is my plaques. Loving God while I bleed. Serving God in the midst of struggle. What kind of doctor do you have? I made it. And I'm still pressing. That ain't no doctorate. Yes, it is. A doctor is someone that has studied for so many years and knows all the intricate parts of the body. I know all my intricate parts. I know that my emotions run crazy sometimes. I know that my feelings get overwhelmed. I know yours don't. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to make it, Pastor Keys. Don't look like it. If I could get up and preach one the same way I preached the first time, it'd be okay. Ah, so we ourselves are confident. I get confident when I see that you're confident. I'm excited when I see you're excited. I can make it when I see you're making it. It wasn't what you said, it's what you did. Well, I don't feel good today, so why are you here in the house of God? Because God is able. I don't have much finance, so why are you sowing? Because God is able. So, if I'm comforted of God, so that you may be comforted of God, and then by you being comforted of God, I'm more confident of God because now I can actually see God moving and God working. I can see the love of God manifesting itself because now it's not just in one person, but it's flowing in a many-membered body. For as the sufferings, remember, sufferings are the motions of Christ. The manifestations of everything that Christ went through is working in us. That's why he said, these things that I do, you shall do also and even greater. But see, what folks fail to realize, they assume that he said that because we were going to do greater miracles. That's a possibility you will, but you're going to have greater trials too. It's unfortunate, but they kind of go hand in hand. We're preaching that the anointing comes from studying the word and from fasting and from meditation. When the anointing clearly comes from trial and struggle. Because the more you make it through, the greater he becomes in your life. The anointing don't change, but your mindset changes. So it makes the anointing more powerful because you see things in a different arena. We need to get out of the arena where we're defeated and get in an arena where the victory is already ours. I would have loved to saw that fight that was on last night. Who was that? Floyd Mayweather and Cotto. I listened to their pre-fight interviews. One said he's the king. The other one said he's a lion. They both assume that they're the greater of the two. You got to assume and recognize by the word of God that you're the greater power in your life. Greater is he that's in you than he that is. Now, that don't mean you're greater than your brother or your sister. That means you're greater than your flesh. And see, that's what I preached this one way Wednesday, but about 4 o'clock this morning, God was giving it to me another way. I said, that ain't going to fly. That don't fly. All my notes and stuff say this. God said, well, I'm going to pull you out of them notes. I'm going to make it plain to you. Let me read it. We're going to jump all the way down. Paul said, whether we be afflicted, remember affliction, whether we be crowded, folks crowd you a lot, or you're troubled, or you have anguish, or you feel burdened down. I don't know about you, but I feel like that a whole lot of times. Or persecuted. Whether, it don't matter. If you are, if you're not. It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual. What did we say effectual was? Working. In the enduring, or the patience, of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So these things that we're going through, you're going to go through too. You're going to experience the same things. 2,000 years later. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation. Remember what consolation means. And salvation. And our hope of you is what? Steadfast. It's sure. You have to be sure about who you are in God. You can't be wishy-washy or drifty over it. You got to know who you are in God and who He is in you, and know that no weapon formed against you will ever prosper, no matter how big it may seem, how sharp it may seem, or how smart it may seem. No weapon that is formed. The word form means to create or to bring into existence. Anything that is created or brought into existence has no power, no authority over you. So you have to be sure, knowing without effort. Brother Lil John knows that God is a healer without effort, because he saw what God did in his granddaughter's life. Sister Nancy knows that God is a healer without effort, because she stands up every chance she gets, and everybody around her is going, "Oh my God." But her faith doesn't waver, because she's sure. You heard Sister Norma's testimony. You heard the pastor's testimony about how God healed them, because they're sure. So you say, what happens if they have to go through it again? It doesn't change their mindset, because without knowing, without effort, they know that God is what He says He is. Oh, my God. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. It is a lot of ignorant folks. Oh my God. Whole lot of them. I could break that down, but I'll be on it for 20 minutes. He said, we don't want you to not have this knowledge. We don't want you not to have this understanding, because you need it. Not just for you, but for me. And not just for me, but for you, Pastor Metcalf. Not just for you, Pastor Metcalf, but for you, Brother Sean. And it just bounces as we strengthen and we uplift and we encourage each other. Paul was teaching a very powerful message. For we would not have you, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed. I don't want you to think for one second that I got it made. Every day of my life is a struggle. You say, well, you accepted it. I don't accept nothing. It is. And I don't like it one bit. So I have to be sure of my consolation in God. How do I show that I'm not taking it? Because I'm going to keep it moving. Amen. Paul said, we were pressed without measure. We were weighted down out of any circumstance. We were weighted down out of our own minds, out of measure, above strength, where that becomes almost stronger than we were, insomuch that we were despaired even unto life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. That is what changed this message. Who delivered us from so great a death. That's what changed this message this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because notes and all that stuff teach us that we know that when they were in Asia, that they were trying to kill them. And the people of God had to come to their rescue. But they had to have faith in their God in order to come to their rescue. But Paul was talking about something a little bit different here. He was also explaining to them that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, The word of God says you cannot trust in the arm of flesh. Arm represents the strength of the flesh. You cannot trust in your own nature. You have to trust in the word of God. Because your nature will tell you one thing while God is trying to tell you something else. The Bible says, for the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You're in a constant warfare trying to serve God. Paul said, I found this, that we had this sentence or this life or this sentence is like being sentenced to prison. Sentencing. That's where somebody stands judgment over you and predicts what happens for the rest of your life because of what you've done or because of your past accomplishments, whether they be good or bad. Paul said, we had this sentence in us. We had this character, this old man standing over us trying to judge us for what we were doing for the kingdom of God. So therefore, we didn't trust in what we thought. We didn't trust in what we believed. We didn't trust in what we heard. We trusted in God. That's the consolation. That's the exhortation. That's the strength when you trust in your God and not in what you see. Not how you feel, not what you imagine, not what you hear, not what people say or what they do, but you have confidence in Jesus. Who's your confidence in this morning? Paul said, we had this in death, but one thing we knew, but in God which raises the dead, our trust that we should not have trust in ourselves, but in God which raises from the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. God delivered us from ourselves. And then he's going to also deliver us from the second death. Remember, Jesus died two deaths. He died the first death, which was to himself. Then he died the second death, which was on the cross. But what did God do? Oh, God raised him from the dead. Quickened his mortal flesh, made him a life-living spirit once again. Regardless of what you go through, you can always look forward that there is no judgment under them that are in Christ Jesus. Paul was trying to get these folks straightened out. You got to stop believing in all that heresy and all that philosophy that you're dealing with, trying to make it sound good, trying to mingle it with the word of God and think you're teaching the word of God. You've got to come true to who you are. And stop having confidence in what you feel. Stop having confidence in what you see. Stop having confidence in what you hear. Because God is in control of all things. He can change everything just like that. Or he can let it stay the way it is just like that. Either way, whether, either or, you've got to know who you are in God and how powerful and mighty he is in you, so that your life will be a testimony of the character and the consolation and the compassion of God. Compassion has become a wayward word because it means that you've got to lay down your life for somebody else. And we are no longer willing to lay down our lives for people because we figure what they got themselves into or what they're going through is their problem. But Paul was telling them, it's all of our problems. That's why he made the statement, we pray without ceasing for you. Because I understand that the consolation or the exhortation of God that is in us, or the counsel of God which is in us, will edify and exhort you to a higher realm in God. And when you reach that higher realm, you'll be able to look up and say, surely God is more than able to provide and meet my needs according to his riches and glory also. So as we grow together, as we mature together, sooner or later we have to make the statement or to quote the word of God that says, when I was a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Things that don't represent or edify or exhort the kingdom of God, you've got to learn to put away. Because God has called you to something great. No one will ever know how powerful God is in your life until you stand and know that If God be for you, nothing or no one can be against you. Everyone stand.